This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. We started our show today discussing an excellent piece in MMQB and SI by Andy Benoit, who's one of our favorite football guests who watches the film and is just a sharp guy. The top 400 players in football. And as someone who's put together a top 25 list before, doing a top 400 is what an insurmountable, ridiculous task. I can't even believe trying to pull that off.
Just climbing up Mount Everest with no Sherpa or jetpack.
But Andy Benoit is as qualified as anybody to do it, and he joins us now on Grant and Danny. Great job, man. This is a fun piece as we get training camps going. How are you?
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. That's kind of you guys.
Well, we've long liked having you on the show, and we appreciate that you jumped on. So a lot of things to cover. I liked the corner spot. Norman was six. I liked Reed, top three, tight ends, tackles, Trent Williams second. We started our show because you had Cousins way down at 19, and you got to help me with why Sam Bradford, who's never had a season as good as either of the two Cousins has turned in, is ahead of him, was a Jag. And then you've got Joe Flacco as your 11th best NFL quarterback at this point. You're a smart guy. I need your help here because I don't see that.
Yeah, sure. It gets into a matter of preference. So this is we all know these top 400 type lists. This stuff is inherently flawed because we're not talking apples to apples. And especially at the quarterback position, you have guys with different schemes. They're asked to do very different things. So if the question is, do we view Kirk, and this is the problem with his contract situation, by the way, do we view Kirk Cousins as just a quarterback, as in general, or do we consider him as the Washington quarterback, the Redskins quarterback? Because they're almost two different things. In Washington's system, with what they ask him to do and the nature of the reads and the style they play, he's a very, very good specimen. He's a great player at times. He's very good. Overall, when you just look at the quarterbacking traits, and if you were to helicopter him into another team system, that's, I believe, where some of the limitations show up. And that's why some people in the building in Washington are saying we shouldn't pay this guy because he's worth more to us than the rest of the league. But why do we have to pay what the rest of the league? You know, I mean, why should we do that? Let's pay him the minimum that we can. He's better in our system than he would be anywhere else. So it's a little bit, does the system make the guy or not? Joe Flacco, you don't have these conversations with him. Now, he needs to play better. He was not very good by his standards last year, but the physical traits are off the charts, and you can run anything you want with him. That's also true to a lesser extent, but it's a little bit true of Sam Bradford. We forget what a good thrower he is, and coaches love what he does, the fundamentals right. They love how quick and precise he is fundamentally. He's just had a lot of hard knocks in his career, and some of that, you know, injuries, different coaching staffs, different teams. But I think if you were to take these three QBs and just put them into a typical NFL offense, never mind catering the offense to them, I think Flacco looks best, Bradford would look second best, and Cousins, I think some of the arm strength limitations would show up.
Okay, so I get that, and that's why we wanted to have you on, is because I think it makes a lot of sense when you say this is basically not taking into account the offense they're in. Maybe I'm just, down on Flacco. I just think he is so pedestrian. And I've seen him play in person a ton. He's in Baltimore right up the road. I watch him on TV all the time. The guy threw for 4,000 yards for the first time in his career last year. That's not the end-all, be-all. But he's thrown for over 25 touchdowns once. He got hot Eli Manning style and won a Super Bowl, and that's great. But the numbers are not there. He to me, is the ultimate physical tools over production guy, and we can blame it on a million things. At some point, you've been in the league since 08. I need you to put up a great season, and he never's done it.
Well, you know, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I would, and I, you acknowledge the 2012 Super Bowl run. You know, he obviously finished great in that season. I guess what I like about Flacco and how I tend to evaluate quarterbacks, because we forget it's a 22-man game. You got 10 on your side plus yourself, and you're going against 11 guys. there are a lot of systems in play and a lot of factors that really the quarterback doesn't control. So where I tend to start drawing the line and really evaluating the quarterbacks closer is in obvious passing situations. That's something that the quarterback does have a little more control. And when it's third, and I don't know Flacco's numbers in obvious passing situations. They might be as inconsistent as they've been in other spots. But if we're talking about how a guy looks on film, how you want to use them, the type of plays you could draw up, and therefore how you could use all the guys around him, I like Joe Flacco in third down and 10 a lot more than I like a lot of other quarterbacks in the NFL. I guess I get smitten with the physical traits at times. He's also run a lot of different offenses in his career, and he's been on a defensive-minded Ravens team. So some of his passing numbers will be a little bit lower because he's been more of a complementary type of player within the nature of their whole scheme dating back a few years. But I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think Flacco, you could argue he is an underachiever based off the physical traits, and he should be playing better. You could certainly make that argument.
You see why we love having him on. At @Andy_Benoit writes for MMQB. It's a great piece. The top 400 players in the NFL just tweeted out a link at Funny Danny. Andy, you wrote also on the side, kind of a different tab, how you compiled that. So I've got a follow-up question, but just tell folks how you did your grading and what sort of skills and kind of how much tape, whatever it was, going into evaluating this top 400.
Well, it's off of, I try to watch every game on film. So I referred to my film notes from over the years. I referred to those, and to be honest, guys, I don't love this kind of assignment because I don't think it's a black and white game, but it's something we wanted to do. The bosses at SI wanted to do it. I certainly understand it. It does generate fun discussion. So we'll have follow-up articles on it. But the formula I used, which I am the first to say it's totally imperfect, was who's better off the top of your head, first and foremost? Can we make it done the easy way? But then which player, does player A do his job better than player B does his job? Who does their particular jobs better? And if there wasn't a clear answer there, then I took into consideration, well, who has the more important job? So if it's close between, well, this quarterback, he does a pretty good job, but this outside linebacker does a pretty good job, the quarterback gets the nod. He's got a more significant, complicated job. So a totally inexact science. We have to remember there's 32 teams with 32 sets of players and coaches and systems, and it's not like baseball where so much of it's the same stylistically from team to team. So it's hard to do, but that was the approach that I took.
And it makes a lot of sense. So then this would be my follow-up question. There's a couple rookies on there made this top 15, or guys that are coming off early parts of their career, guys like Jameis Winston, who we all agree the arrow is really trending up for the guy. The ceiling is super high. Same with Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, et cetera. But in terms of overall production yet, Andy, you'd agree they haven't done it yet. That's why it makes me scratch my head. Forget about Cousins here in D.C., but someone like a Dalton who's been pretty decent for a few years, or even a Tannehill, et cetera. Help me understand how some of these young guys that haven't yet done it, but we think will, would be ahead of somebody else that has.
Yeah, that's the other issue you bump into is, should we grade players on their body of work? Should we grade them on just last season? Should we grade them on exactly where they are right here, right now? I probably tended to grade them or evaluate them on who would I want to play with this year? Who, if I have to go into week one, which guy do I want more? I mean, I didn't think of it exactly like that. It's hard to know exactly. That's why these lists are imperfect.
Sure.
But probably who would you want to play with? And I didn't consider any incoming rookies because the point you just made really applies to those guys. They literally have done nothing in the NFL. So you have to draw the line somewhere. But, yeah. I love Carson Wentz. I thought Prescott had a nice rookie season. I'm a big Jameis Winston fan. He's only played 2 years. All of those guys are, hopefully for their team's sake, barely halfway through their development. So it's hard to compare them to an Andy Dalton or a Kirk Cousins, no question.
Andy Benoit of SI is with us, and he's on Twitter @Andy_Benoit. You can check this piece out. MMQB 400 is the top 400 players in football, then broken down by position. It's a cool idea, and it's going to get a lot of run because it was really well done.
It's really good.
By a guy who watches a lot of film. Andy, I'm curious about Dak Prescott this year, not related to where you ranked him or anything, but just in general. I thought last year some things came easy to him. We were here in 2012. We saw how it works when you got a great running game and it's some easy basic reads and half the field at a time. If Ezekiel Elliott's not around for a couple games, or if he's got to throw it 40 times to win because they're down 10, if their defense gets worse, Can he do that? Do we have answers to those questions yet? Or was last year kind of a 72 and sunny rookie year?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It really was. And I don't get into that a whole lot. I think the quarterback job is so hard that to say a guy had it easy is difficult for me. But I think Dak Prescott had it pretty easy. He had the best by what's by far the best offensive line in football, which changes the entire timing that he can operate on. He held the ball a lot longer than most QBs, and he was able to. And when you do that, that changes the coverages you're reading. He also has a true number one receiver in Dez Bryant. That influences safeties, makes it harder for teams to disguise coverage. So now he's throwing into simpler looks. He has Jason Witten and Cole Beasley, probably the two, if we're talking about complementary skill sets, about as good as you can want for safety blanket guys. Beasley gets open early in the down. Witten gets open late in the down. And then, of course, he had the running game. So Prescott was very much a complimentary piece. They did not ask him to do a whole lot. In fact, when I'm going through my Denver Broncos film notes here this morning, and I did my Cowboys film notes a few weeks ago, just kind of my off-season polishing up stuff, the difference in what Prescott was asked to do and what Trevor Siemian was asked to do was negligible. The difference was Siemian didn't have great circumstances around him. Their running game wasn't good. Their offensive line was very below average. So we don't know what Prescott is fully yet, because perfect circumstances never last, and especially in pro football. What's interesting is he's going into the season with these same circumstances, so they're perfect right now. Something will change at some point, though. You said maybe Ezekiel Elliott's gone. You don't want anyone to get hurt, but that's what happened. Something will change, and we'll find out more about Prescott when he's forced to make difficult NFL quarterbacking plays on a more regular basis. But to his credit, look, you play with the circumstances you have. To his credit, he really capitalized on those a year ago.
Andy, always great with us, man. It's a great piece. Good work. I know it's not the most fun thing to do, but it's great for fodder, for folks
it's
like us.
It's good for people like us.
Yeah, seriously. Appreciate you coming on, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Andy Benoit, check him out. SI and MMQB. Craig Hoffman is one of our reporters. We're sending him down to Richmond with Chris Russell to cover training camp for you. We will talk to him next, previewing Redskins camp, which starts tomorrow. Players saying they're landing in Richmond all day long. Sue Cravens just checking in from Richmond.
Love it.
We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.